Thank you, Rose. Thank you, worship team.
Is it all right? They can hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Yeah.
Very good.
I can't hear myself, so you better tell me. You can hear me?
Not very well.
So, okay. Pete is going on the task on hand. So that's okay now. Yes, you can hear me. Right. I always wonder in my heart, why is it that most of the people that we know, since you were made aware of these things, most of the people that you know who are really intelligent, multi-talented, skillful, people who are really you can call them or name them brilliant, when you look closer to their lives, you realize that they have several, if not many, many difficulties. Every time you come closer, you know, it's those celebrities that you know, those people who are really well known and very famous, if you listen, if time comes that they wrote their memoir, you would realize that they have so many struggles in life. You have very much, you would realize that they are more than actually, you would say to yourself, even if they're going to offer their lives to me, I wouldn't take it. I wouldn't like it. Because it's just too much. And the other thing that I would ask is that when you look closely to yourself, as a Christian, the first thing that comes to your mind is that, except if you are the other kind of Christian, the normal Christian would be, you would always think of yourself as somebody who is not really, you know, there's nothing in you that really is very interesting. There's nothing that you can really be proud of. Until one person would say, how lovely your personality is. I'm so blessed by your life. And you started thinking, uh-oh, she's pulling my leg. Or you're joking. I'm not even blessed by my life, by my own self. There are times that people would feel like that. If you step back and think again, the very meaning when you read the Bible all the time, when God said that God is the all-powerful, that God is the almighty God, the opposite to that is the fact that God is showing to you that a person who approached him, who sees him, who worships him, is a person who knows his worth, is a person who knows his value, that he is valued in the sight of God, but he has to remember he has to be humble before God. Because if you're not, you wouldn't receive the fullness of God's blessing. Because divine's response to humility is always the blessing that God wants you to have. I know you heard the readings this morning from Joel to Psalm 65 to 2 Timothy to Luke. They're all talking about, they seem to be talking different things. But I'd like to connect them together. This morning, these readings are from the lectionary. If you go to the Roman Catholic Church this morning, that's the reading you would hear. If you go to the Anglican Church, that's the reading you would hear. If you go to the Methodist Church, that's the reading you would hear, and other churches as well. We Baptists, most likely, don't do that. But I'd like to do it this morning, because the reason I'm connecting them is that I don't want you to think that I'm choosing the scripture in order to hit you as my target. No. It is a scheduled lectionary so that everybody on the same platform, whenever they're in the church, they would be able to hear the same passages. But I'd like to connect them this morning to you. First, divine response to human's humility is always outstanding. Because when God pours out his blessing to the person who is humble, we know that that person's life is going to change, all for very good reason. Remember the story from Luke? The one that we just heard being read. There were two guys who came to the temple and they prayed. The other one is, you know, so proud. He brought his resume. He said, I'm not a robber. I'm not a tax collector. I am better. He brought his resume to God. I don't think we do that. Like, Lord, I'm the best person in the church in Woodingdon. You know, I'm always early. So, hooray to you. You can't do that to God, right? But that's what the other guy was doing. He was praying to God like that. The other one was beating his chest and says, Lord, there's nothing on me that I can really prove that I'm okay. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm really nothing. I'm really nothing. And then what did Jesus said? Because he's the one who gave that story, right? Jesus said, the other guy, the last one, who beat his chest, went home, blessed by God, forgiven, he's okay. See, it's simple as it is, isn't it? The one who humbles themselves to the Lord is the one that is forgiven, is the one that is blessed by God, because they humble themselves to the Lord. You know, as a Christian for a many long time, I always wonder why God wants us to be humble. I'm thinking, Lord, are you... It sounds like bothering to me. I'm thinking, you really want us to grope before you? And say, oh God, please answer my prayer. Do you really want me to do that? Is that my humility before you? Because I can promise you, if you go to Baclaran, it's a big church in the Philippines, people are walking on their knees there when they pray. Because they thought that by walking, going to the altar, God is going to listen to their prayers. Is that humility? Perhaps, maybe. But some people are using the kneeling thing, going to the altar, by walking on their knees as a magic thing to do that God will give attention to them. There is nothing that would give attention, that would snatch God's attention than someone's humility. Remember the guy who came to Jesus and said, please, he's a leader of a soldier, you know, he's a centurion. And he went to Jesus and says, Lord, one of my colleagues is ill. Oh, can you heal him? And Jesus said, I'm going to go there and heal you. And he said, no, Lord, you didn't need to go there. All you have to do is to say it, and he will be healed. I don't need much of your attention. Just say it, Lord, and he will be healed. And according to the passage, Jesus was astounded by the faith of the guy. And he said, he will be healed according to what you said, according to your faith. God's attention is caught when we are humble before him. I know for some of you here who have experienced many years of being a Christian, there were times in your life that you were put in such a situation that you didn't know what to do. You exhausted all your plans. You pull everything from your sleeves and there's nothing that's happening. Until to the last minute and you decided, Lord, I can't do this. I really can't. I'm lost now. I don't know what to do. Then God steps in and he did something. Because you, when you find yourself at the last point of your life and you jump into that panic situation of humility, then God meet you right there and then. It's always a matter of humbling before God. And this is what the two persons in the temple has experienced. One of them was satisfied and has given God's blessing. And you would say, well, yeah. But Psalm 65 is saying, those people who come to God humbly are forgiven, are given good health, and blessed by God. All you have to do is to be humble. Can you stand if a person next to you who lives with you at least, or maybe just sit next to you, is so proud? Can you stand? That every time you say something, you say, you know what? We have this bit of potato, we plant potato, and then we have this, and then he will tell you that you had a squash like this. And then it's really difficult to do that, right? If you are next to the person who is always proud about himself, oh, for me, it really triggers me to be more proud than him. I mean, I always made a contest. I have that bad situation that I responded badly sometimes. Somebody whispers something, I would say it out loud. And I thought to myself, that's bad. All because the only good thing that we could be proud of, but don't say it, is if you are humble before God. You cannot say to the Lord, Lord, I'm really, really glad. I'm so proud that I'm the humblest guy that you would ever meet. You can't do that. You can't do that. Because the moment you say that, all the keys in heaven will lock the door. It won't open. And we all know, you know what I mean. So many times, as a young person myself, I realized that God creates situation where I would find myself and the very last bit of my own end. You know, you're actually pushed against the wall, and that's the time you see God doing something. Because they said, the best way to go up is to go down. And when you're down, the only way to survive is to look up. And if you put that in principle before God, then you know that's going to happen, that God will rescue you. What happens to Paul in 2 Timothy? He was writing there to Timothy, and he said, I have kept the faith. I have run a good race. And I have won it. He's not talking about sprinting. He's talking about his life that is about to be offered to God, because he knows one of those days he's going to be killed. He's going to be killed because of his faith, because of what he's preaching. But he's saying to them that I have kept the faith. I am actually very, very much excited of what's going to happen because I have kept the faith. But there are some sides in the passage that makes me feel sad for him. You know what he said? When I was in trial, they abandoned me. Have you felt it that way? You're in your last bit of your life. You have a very difficult situation. And then all the people that you thought they will be there for you, they're just gone. They're just gone. Well, some of them, they don't actually plan to do that. Some of them plan to do that. But you always feel that there's a place in your life that you are on your own. And then what did Paul says? He said, but God was with me. He never left me. That's humility. Instead of saying in his letter to Timothy, Timothy, mark that word. You know that guy in that church? Oh no, don't come to him. He's bad. Oh no, you know you saw that woman with me? Oh no, don't come and don't bless her. He didn't wrote that in his letter, didn't he? He said, but God was with me. Instead of speaking badly about the people who abandoned him, he humbly recognized that although he was in his last wit at the time, yet God never abandoned him. That's humility. You don't berate other people because they didn't meet your expectation. You don't get angry with those people that you thought you could depend on because God didn't provide them the opportunity. Well, for me as a human being, that's my automatic response. Where were you when I met you? But Paul didn't do that. He said, but God was with me. That's humility. It's easy to say that, but when you are in the very, very situation itself, it will take God's Spirit to remind you not to be bitter against those people. But with his humility, we can see that Paul expressed in his letter to Timothy, that Timothy, watch this. Even if you're on the point in your life that some Christians will abandon you in the very point that you need them, don't be bitter. Always remember, as God has not abandoned me, he will not abandon you. That's humility. If you put it forward into your personal life as a Christian, I can guarantee that even in married life, sometimes you would feel that you are on your own, although you're together. Even if you are in your relationship, if you have friends, you would sometimes feel that you're on your own. God actually made it possible for you to feel it so that you would remember that in the last point of your life, it's between you and God, not somebody else. I love my wife, but I don't expect my wife to be there all the time for me, especially in my own relationship with God, because she has her own relationship with God. And she doesn't have to expect me to be always there, because sometimes my life is like, oh, you're not with me when I needed you. Well, the guy that you married is not God himself. Come on. I mean, it's a problem if you're going to expect that way. The only way to solve the situation is that, always remember, God is a jealous God. That word is not bad. That word should be positive, because what that word means, God wants you for himself. He really wants you. He's totally in love with you, that he cannot think anything else but you. So he wants you to be with him. And many times of our lives, God wants us to be humble, because by being humble, that means we will depend on him. Oh, I have my fair share of arthritis in some ways. You know, when you get off the bed and you forget which side you are okay to stand up, then you start, that's the kind of song we have in the morning sometimes. Then you would realize that when you're 30, I don't care what happened. I can do anything. I plan to go up in the hills of the Himalayas or the mountains and all that. You can plan like that. When you start feeling all those aches, you would realize, oh dear, please, mommy, remind me next time which side of the bed should I get off. You start to depend. And when you depend, you realize that there is a power in humility. You need humility to depend on someone. I recently experienced helping someone, and the person probably has been in a well-off situation many years ago. And the first thing he said to me was that it is so painful to receive help from someone. You know what I mean? It's so painful to receive help from someone because I am not used to receiving help. Well, when you're young, you don't do that, don't you? But when you really under a situation, you need help, you really have to be humble to receive help. I worked in a care home before for 4 years as a chaplain. You know what's the problem with the relatives of the people who, I mean, residents in the care home? Their relatives in the care home. That's the problem. Because the moment they showed help to them, oh dear me, everybody would say, oh no, you don't need to do that. I can do this. Because I'm used to, I can manage my life. If the counselor is going to give them something that you press for to call help, if you need help, oh, they put it in there. They put it in the, chest drawers. Oh, I don't need that. Maybe I need that maybe 10 years from now, not now. Because it's so painful for them. I realized that myself, that receiving help needs to be humble. You need to be humble. Otherwise, oh dear, you would not like it. And so I started telling to them, what happened? But I don't know that. I don't want that. So I realized that this is the problem. I don't blame them. For the last 80 years of their lives, they don't need help. And now they started needing help. Oh, that's really, really hard. But again, remember the passage in Luke, the God who loves you, his attention is caught when you're going to be humble. If you're not humble, you will not get his attention. And so the same thing if you apply in your life. You need to be humble enough to receive attention. That's the way you apply the word of God to your life. And so I have to say to my boy, especially to the elders, can you remind me if I forget something? Oh, you wouldn't hear me like that would say that before. I can memorize everything. It's just the humility. If you go to Joel, as the last passage this morning, Joel was saying to the people, it's a prophecy, by the way, I will pour my spirit on you, that your old people will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. I will restore what you lost. Whatever the locust has eaten, I will pay you back double. Because what happened before was they were hard-headed, the Israelites, and God punished them and sent them to exile and they became poor. And then time has came that they returned back to God and asked for help and humbly come to God and said, Lord, I need help. We really need help. We can't do this. Please restore us. And then God said to them, this is my promise. Now that you ask me, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to pour back whatever you lost. When I was meditating on this passage, I remember you. If not all, but I remember you as a church. Maybe some of you here thought, oh dear, my time has gone. I can't do anything anymore. But that passage reminds us that even if the locusts had eaten half of your life, I'm talking about the metaphorical locusts, isn't it? If the locusts had eaten half of your life, when you return to God, He can restore that even to double. And I'm holding that promise. Because in my life, I'm not perfect all the time. There must be some years of my life that I wasted in serving God. And so God can actually return that to me double. And I hope I'll be able to do it from now on. If not, I have done it already. It's just that the God who promises restoration is only not a prayer away. But even just in, if you look in your heart and you humble to God and says, Lord, I've lost many years. I'm really sorry. I really want to serve you. Then take these words from God. He will double the portion of His blessings to you in return. So all is not lost, actually. You're not done until God is done with you. You're not finished until God welcomes you to the portals of heaven. You're not done until God said it's done. Who said that it is finished? Who said that? Only Jesus, right? It is finished. It is only Jesus who can say that. You cannot say, oh Lord, it is finished. I cannot serve you now. I am too achy everywhere. I don't want to do that, Lord. It is only Jesus who can say it is finished. Until God is finished with you, you're not finished. So sorry, if you have me as your preacher, I will tell you that because that's what God said. Many a times we forget that while we breathe in this body that God gave us, He wants us to do something for Him. Blessed are the young people, for they can see visions. And blessed are we who are elderly, we can dream dreams. And what do you do with the dreams? Hide it. You tell people, this is what I dream that God wants us to do. This is what I dream that God wants us to do. Then you share the dream. You know why I say that? Because at least 40 years ago, I would never imagine that I would be preaching. There was this elderly woman in a church. She always sat at the back and looked at me. I was so young, maybe I'm just 9 years old. Walking around, maybe playing. Then she came to me and says, Gerald, I think God wants you to be a pastor. I'm thinking, no way. Pastor, one of the worst paid employer in this country. I'm not going to do that. I'd rather be a teacher, or I'd rather be a lawyer or whatever, not a pastor. But she kept on saying that until she died. And I never thought about it. Then at the age of about 11, I was baptized. I had my baptismal instruction. I asked my pastor to baptize me at the age of 11. And then at 12, I started teaching Sunday school to the children. And then I think at the age of 14, I had my first preaching during the Good Friday service. And then the pastor came to my mom and says, oh, Mrs. Bayona, your son is good. He can speak. But I said to myself, no, I'm not going to be a pastor. I just spoke because you asked me. I'm not going to do that. And I'm telling you that I stood my ground. I never did prepare or plan to become a pastor. No, I don't like it. I dream of something else. I dream of something else. But that elderly woman gave me the dream. She passed on to me the dream. And that dream, can you imagine her looking at down from heaven right now? See, I told you, you're going to be a pastor. I told you. I didn't even say to you that you're going to graduate at Oxford University. Is not that part of the bonus? That you're going to train at Oxford University? Is that part? Or maybe I say to myself, if you told me this, I would have said, yeah, probably I'll do that. But no, that's how that elderly woman passed on the dream to me. And the only reason it happened, because God worked into my heart to be humble enough to say, that Lord, I'm going to follow you. That's why, until you breathe your last breath, God is going to work in your humility. Don't tell me that in your own time now that you have experienced God for so long, there are no times that God, that the devil or the enemy actually tempt you to be proud. I think that every day you're being tempted to be proud. You hear someone talking, someone, and yeah, you don't want to hear it, or, you know. It's just that a matter of seconds when we feel sometimes that there is a need for you to reach out to God. Remind ourselves the promises of Joel, that God will pour out his spirit on his people. The promises in Luke, that God justify the person who beat his chest. The story that Paul gave to Timothy when he was almost, he felt alone, that he was abandoned. And the promises in Psalm 65 that God forgive, God bless, God gave good health to the people who are humbling themselves to the Lord has much more promises than we can imagine. That when you humble before God, the blessings are enormous. You may not be able to fly again like when you were in your younger years, but you can send off someone flying in their own time. Maybe in a dream, maybe in your prayers, maybe the way you bless them with your life. And as you come to the Lord in this church every Sunday, when you reach to God with your humility, you don't know that the person that you prayed in Nigeria, so many miles away from here, are actually answered by God because you are humble enough to come to God for that prayer. You never know. But God always do. He's faithful. When we answer, when we come to him, he will always answer. He's faithful to answer our prayers if we come to him in humility. As I close, I would say this. The first thing that comes to mind with the word humility is that people are naturally very self-sufficient because we pride in that. There's a healthy pride in that, of course. You don't want to see yourself always asking people for help. I don't think that you would like that. No, you wouldn't. But also there's a healthy dose of humility that you need, especially when you come to the Lord. Because there's no other way of doing that. The moment you fold your hand in prayer, the moment you bow your head in prayer, that's a sign of humility. And you have to remind yourself, without humility in your heart, regardless of how many years you serve God, most of your prayers will not be answered because you're not open to those answers. Ladies and gentlemen, I know that times like this, sometimes we hear stories and news around the world, we feel like we are overwhelmed too much of everything that is happening. But to me, I'm always reminded of one thing. The reason why we are always listening and hearing these stories is because God wants us to be reminded, I am in control of this world. You have to be humble enough to realize that even Trump cannot do it, even Putin cannot do it, even Ukraine cannot do it, even Gaza cannot do it, even Israel cannot do it. It's only me who can do it. And so all of you must come to me so that I'll be able to do something about it. That's the kind of thing that God wants us to have. To be humble enough to come to Him. So every prayer, every worship, every time we read the Bible, we have to remind ourselves, the simplest way to open God's blessings in our lives is to be humble enough and says, Lord, we need help. We need help. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.